Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Tony, Pastor Lily, for sharing the pulpit with me. I always count it a privilege to share the Word of God with you. Shall we open our Bibles to 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll read the whole chapter, okay? This is 20 verses. 1 Kings chapter 19, the whole chapter, and I will be reading to you from the NASB version, NASB 95 version. Let's read. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." Verse 6, then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by. A great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, turned down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go, return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. And Jehu the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. In last verse, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen. and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered unto him. Shall we pray? Jesus, I hide behind your cross today. Lord, help me and make your people understand. Empower us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah experienced the depths of fatigue and discouragement just right after his two spiritual victories. What are these two spiritual victories? The defeat of the prophets of Baal, and second, the answered prayer for rain. Elijah expected Jezebel to surrender, but when she did not yield, he became a discouraged man. Often, discouragement sets in after great spiritual experiences, especially those requiring physical effort or involving great emotion. Then Elijah prayed, "Take my life." Since the Israelites believed that suicide was an affront to the Lord, it was not an option. So Elijah asked the Lord for death because he viewed the situation as hopeless. Don't we sometimes say like that? Let me die. I am tired. I am hopeless. So to lead Elijah out of depression, God first let Elijah rest and eat. Then God confronted him with the need to return to his mission, and that is to speak God's words in Israel. Therefore, his battles were not over. He still had work to do. You know, when we feel let down after a great spiritual experience, remember that God's purpose for our life is not yet over. I remember in the year 2000 until 2011, our church experienced tremendous growth. In fact, I heard it in one of the gatherings, a pastor, upon introducing our leaders that we were from Evangel, he said, "They are from Evangel, the biggest born-again church in Iloilo City." When I heard it, it was music to my ears. That was music to our ears. But there were some truths in what he said. You know why? I remember that after the second service, every region went to the barangays and bring people to the third service until the T-zone was packed. And there were different odors coming from those youths. I also remember that I drove the van. Vans only can only take 12 to 14 people. I drove the vans and fetched contacts from Bitoon. And in that van, I carried 23 people inside. Imagine, in one fetching, 23 people. Then we had contacts from Estanzuela who were under Elder Fernand and Lovely. That Elder Fernand had to remove his pants to lend to the contact for that contact to go up. And we also put extra clothings inside the van because they could not go up the church when they are wearing shorts and slippers. That's wonderful. But something unexpected happened. 2012 eclipsed 2000 to 2011. Our glory days during that decade became like only memories now. Good memories, and we desire to bring it back again. The scripture we just read speaks to our situation today. We experience letdowns, but God's purpose is not yet over for Etab. This morning, I would like to share on the rise of the fallen. Sounds like Transformers. I don't know, two or three. The rise of the fallen. I want to share on this, not because we have fallen from God's grace. God's grace is still with us. But we have fallen short of God's vision. We have fallen short of the zeal for this house. And we have fallen short of God's commission because of some eclipse or letdowns in our lives. And my 3 points this morning is, number one, the stations and their significance. Number two, the still small voice. And number three, the Spirit and anointing. If you read the whole chapter, verse 1 tells us that the news of Elijah killing the 450 prophets of Baal reached Jezebel. And in verse 2, Jezebel reacted and he threatened to kill Elijah. And in verse 3, Elijah was afraid. Elijah was shattered. He fled as a prophet. Imagine the prophet of fire fleeing from a woman, broken by Jezebel's threats. Because of Jezebel's unrepentant Baalism and her continuing power over Israel. So God led Elijah to these stations. And that's my first point, the stations and their significance. In verse 4, the Bible tells us, in verse 4, that Elijah ran away. He fled for his life. And in verse 5, it tells us, he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. Juniper tree. What is juniper tree? The plant identified as the juniper in the King James Version is typically the white broom. They call it, maybe this is the scientific name, Retama ritam. It is a desert shrub that grows 8 to 12 feet tall and provides much needed shade in the arid wilderness. It had slender branches featuring small leaves and fragrant blossoms. Other translations such as the ESV and NIV speak of it as the broom tree or the broom bush. The broom bush. So let us go to the significance of this broom bush or juniper tree. First significance is the juniper tree as a refuge. What is a refuge? A refuge means something that repels or drives away. Elijah needed something to repel or drive away the heat. So he sought shelter and rested under a broom tree or juniper tree. You know, during the Israelites' time in the desert with Moses, they camped at a place known for broom trees. Rithmah. Okay? Rithmah is the place. A location where the Israelites made camp, and that place was named after the broom tree. Rithmah means the place of the broom. So broom trees were plentiful in the area, and the location served as a suitable camp for the children of Israel. Second significance of the juniper tree or broom bush is as fuel. It was used to start a fire. Having roots and branches that burn hot, the broom tree has a source of fuel. was a source of fuel and high quality charcoal during biblical times. Now we have people making charcoals like the mga negritos or the ates. They make charcoals, but I don't know where they get the wood from. But during in Israel, the best charcoal was made of juniper tree, the broom bush. Psalms 120 verse 4 likens the judgment of God to a warrior's sharp arrows with burning coals of the broom brush. The angel that visited Elijah made some bread baked over hot coals. Since the broom tree was right there, it's quite possible that the angel used its wood as fuel. And third significance of the broom bush or the juniper tree is as food. The thick root of the broom tree was good fuel for fire. And in awful circumstances, it also could be eaten. Job speaks of men who in extreme conditions resorted to eating broom tree roots. He said in Job chapter 30, verse 3 to 4, haggard from want and hunger, they roamed at the parched land in desolate wastelands at night. In the brush, they gathered salt herbs, and their food was the root of the broom bush. And there, under the juniper tree in verse 5, an angel touched Elijah. It was God's first move in leading him back onto the path of faith from which he has strayed. And then under the juniper tree, God provided Elijah bread and water. Verse 6 tells us, then he looked and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. The prophet Elijah fled into the wilderness and sat under a juniper tree, praying for death out of deep discouragement. God understood the emotional and physical exhaustion he experienced after his confrontation with the prophets of Baal and the escape to Beersheba. So God dealt with him the same way he did earlier in chapter 17, providing him with food and protection during his distress and surrounding famine. But on this occasion, an angel came to him twice to minister to his physical needs, saying, arise, eat. There was bread and water. God sent an angel to provide him with food and water, turning the tree into a site of spiritual and physical restoration. The Hebrew word for bread here is ugah. Sounds like uga. It's ugah. Okay? Because it is an ash cake. In the King James Version, it is a cake bacon. According to this man, Ephraim the Syrian, allegorically, the bread baked in ashes, which the angel offers to Elijah, has two different meanings. On the one side, it immediately shows the toils of penitence, which the ashes symbolize perfectly. You know, when people mourn during those times, they put ashes. Sign of mourning. Since they are a figure of mourning and of a contrite heart. And the unleavened bread soaked in ashes and water are also the food of the poor and the miserable. For us, what we do is when we have the bread and the coffee, we always wash the bread by a coffee. We take a slice and dip into a coffee and eat it. And that is usually what the people in the province do. Those who have a lesser money, they can do that. Okay? So that is like the bread baked in a dip in the water, not coffee, not milk, not Milo, is food of the poor and the miserable. But we can say with greater accuracy that they are figures of all their righteousness. Figures of all the righteous, I mean, for whom the providence of the Creator has established a course of life in the paths of adversity. And therefore, God leads them through much suffering, privation of food, and a severe fast in order to purify them completely from all the filth of earthly things. Then He guides them to the mountain, which is the perfection and the accomplishment of the saints. This is what we are experiencing now. Privation of food, severe fast to purify us and lead us to the mountain, which is the presence of God. Second station here is the journey in the wilderness. In verse 8, it tells us, so he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights
to Horeb, the mountain of God. When Elijah fled to Mount Horeb, he was returning to the sacred place where God had met Moses and the people of Israel. God gave Elijah special strength to travel the distance of over 400 kilometers without additional food and water for 40 days. No food, no water. Our full fast is with water. With Milo. But for Elijah, no food, no water for 40 days. And why 40 days? What is the significance of 40 days here? Okay, I'm not asking you to do it, all right? I'm not asking you to do it. But Elijah, by the grace of God, he was able to do it. By the strength of God, he was able to do it. What is the significance of 40 days? Why 40 days? Elijah's trip took over double the time it should have been taken. It could have been shorter, but it took him 40 days. But why 40 days? Therefore, we can say that the period had symbolic meaning as well as showing literal time. 40 days, literal time. Symbolic meaning is this. As the people of Israel had a notable spiritual failure and so wandered 40 years in the wilderness, so a discouraged Elijah was to spend 40 days in the desert. As Moses had spent 40 days on the mountain without bread and water, sustained only by God as he awaited a new phase of service, Elijah was to spend 40 days in the wilderness depending on God's enablement as he prepared for a new commission from God. That journey in the wilderness is the walk of preparation to meet God. Why did we fast? Because we want to meet God. In application, there is a reason why God allowed us to go through crushing experience a decade ago, or more than a decade ago, in 2012. He actually wanted us to rest, to prepare us to meet Him. And now we are in this journey, and we are doing it. For 21 days, we are resting, and we are going to journey through fasting because our purpose is to meet God. Station number 3 is the Mount of God, Horeb. The discouraged prophet Elijah had traveled to Horeb, which is actually Mount Sinai. Elijah, however, was there under very different circumstances. When God spoke to Moses, the whole nation was gathered at the mountain, below the mountain, waiting for Moses to tell them how to obey God. But for Elijah, he was the only one waiting to hear from God. Because the royalty of Israel, which were Ahab and Jezebel, they had seen God's power. But instead of listening, they were attacking God's prophets. God appeared to Elijah in a different way than he appeared to Moses. God used a wind to drive back the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites in Exodus 14:21. But God did not speak to Elijah in the wind at Mount Horeb. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses at Mount Sinai, the mountain trembled and billowed with smoke, Exodus 19:18. But God did not speak to Elijah in an earthquake. God had recently revealed His power to Elijah and the Baal worshippers by sending fire on Mount Carmel. Do you remember that story? Elijah prayed and God sent fire and burned the offerings. But on this mountain at Mount Horeb, God did not speak to Elijah with fire. Instead, God spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. You know, when somebody whispers to you, you must really give attention. Listen properly. Because it's a whisper. It's a small voice. And that leads me to my second point. The still, small voice. That we really have to pay attention to. During our last 21 days or 20 days, this is the 21st, our fast was not focused on dieting. I hope so. We fasted, but we don't focus on dieting, but to hear what God is speaking and to humble ourselves to obey. For those who fast in full, we don't really notice any spectacular thing happening. What maybe we hear is the grumbling of our stomach. What we feel is the pain because of hunger. But when we knelt down on our knees to pray, we could hear God speaking gently. For 3 weeks, every Tuesday to Friday, we are there at the study hub praying. And while I was praying, I just can feel God, I can just hear God telling me something, whispering to me something. And what is that? It's just between God and me. Just between God and me. But He speaks gently. Many times, God works silently. We always want to see spectacular things happening, but God many times works silently. He speaks here. He speaks here. Verse 11 to verse 12 says, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. The emphasis on Mount Carmel has been God's spectacular ways, particularly His use of fire. The emphasis here is on God's quiet ways. Yes, the emphasis on this chapter is on God's quiet ways. He is not to be found in the spectacular elements of the storm outside the cave, but instead in a low whisper. In the Hebrew, it literally means a voice, a sound, a thin silence. In Hebrew, it is called kol demama dak. Kol demama dak. That is in verse 12. And in verse 13, the voice again came. And the Hebrew for that is kol again. It means God reveals Himself in quietness. God asked Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? The second time. Here, Elijah needed a renewed perspective on life. The word of the Lord came to him asking a question to get his attention and to change his perspective. The Lord twice asked, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 9 and verse 13. God is also asking us the same question. What are you doing here? Paraphrase it. Do you know the reason why you are doing this? What is your purpose in fasting? Do you see my plan? Do you understand what I am doing? In despair, Elijah concluded that his zeal for the Lord was futile. All he could think about was that of all the prophets, he alone was left. And his life was in jeopardy in verse 10 and in verse 14. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, do you think what you are doing now will have no effect? That's what the statement of Elijah was. Everything was futile. Everything is futile. So let me ask you again, what do you think that what you are doing now, what we are doing now will have no effect? Do you think that your faith will be in vain? Sometimes we say, this is useless. This is nothing. Nothing good will happen. That was the statement of Elijah. But there in the cave, the Lord dealt with him. You see, In a self-righteous spirit, Elijah protested his own faithfulness and denounced the children of Israel. You know, Moses, when Israel sinned, when the people of Israel sinned, Moses said, "Lord, don't destroy them. Take me. Kill me." But Elijah said, "I am the only one left. I survived." He said, in effect, that he was the only one who had remained true to the Lord. God then commanded him to stand on the mountain of the law in verse 11. But Elijah did not obey. Because we know this because in verse 13, it is there that he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. The violent storms must have reminded Elijah of his harsh, critical spirit. But none of these storms brought him out of the cave to obey God. Finally, after the fire, the prophet heard a still, small voice. It was this gracious voice of the Lord which brought him to the entrance of the cave. Elijah knew that the sound of a gentle whisper was God's voice. He realized that God doesn't reveal himself only in spectacular ways. In application, to look for God only in something big like rally. You want to attend a rally to meet God. A church, a big church, a conference, or a highly visible leader or evangelist or inspirational speakers. If we look for that, maybe to miss God, because he is often found gently whispering in the quietness of a humbled heart. God can be found in the quietness of our knees in prayer and willingness of heart. Are you listening to God? Step back from the noise and activity of your busy life and listen humbly and quietly for his guidance. It may come when you least expect it. Our fasting time will be over in 10 hours. For the full faster, in 10 hours. But it does not mean we should stop our quiet time. After a while, we will be back to our normal lives. Chatting, enjoying, playing, working, parenting, schooling. But let us not miss him in our busyness. He will speak to our quiet, listening heart. And my last point, which is number 3, the Spirit and anointing. Some people speculate that Elijah ran to Mount Horeb to farther hide from Jezebel. You know, they said, the farther, the better. Or it could be that he only wanted to complain to God about his situation, which he did twice. But God told him to go, return on your way. Go, return on your way. God told him to go back to what he was told to do. And he came down the mountain. Elijah came down the mountain with the Spirit of God. In verse 15 to 17, the Lord said to him, "Go return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place." God told Elijah to anoint 3 different people. The first was Hazael as king of Aram. Elijah was told to anoint an enemy king because God was going to use Aram as his instrument to punish Israel for their sin. You know, Proverbs chapter 16 verse 7 tells us, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." It's just normal that when we share the gospel, people will be angry. That's what Jesus said.
people will be offended because of me, because of the gospel. But brothers and sisters, if people are offended, if people are stumbled because of your behavior and character, that's another thing. But the proverb says, even your enemies can be at peace with you. Elijah anointed an enemy king. Aram brought Israel's external punishment. Israel's internal punishment came from Jehu, the next man Elijah was to anoint. As king of Israel, Jehu would destroy those who worship the false god Baal. And that is found in 2 Kings chapter 9 to chapter 10. The third person Elijah was told to anoint was Elisha, the prophet who would succeed him next generation. It confirms, Pastor Lily, it was just your prophecy just now, the next generation. Elisha's job was to work in Israel, the northern kingdom, to help point people back to God. Because at this time, during that time, the southern kingdom was ruled by Jehoshaphat, a king devoted to God. So, the spirit and anointing is for commissioning. The Lord instructed Elijah to anoint Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha for the purpose of commissioning them to destroy Baal worship in Israel. Through these three men, the Lord completed the execution of Baal worshipers that Elijah had begun. Elijah had the spirit and anointing because he met God and was commissioned by God. That's how important meeting God in His presence is. The spirit and anointing. Actually, if you study the Bible properly, Elijah commissioned only the last of these three men. Elijah commissioned only Elisha. The other two were indirectly commissioned through Elisha. Let me repeat. Elijah only managed to commission Elisha. And Elisha was indirectly responsible in commissioning the other two, Hazael and Jehu. Why? Because Elisha received the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, to do the task through the prophet Elijah. And so, the Spirit and anointing is not only for commissioning. The Spirit and anointing can go down to the next generation. Elijah did so much in his time. But because Elisha received the Spirit of Elijah, he did much more. You know, they said, Jesus is often considered to have performed the most miracles. Jesus performed the most miracles, then followed by the prophet Elisha, who performed double the miracles of his predecessor Elijah. This is showing us that the next generation who receives the anointing will accomplish much more when the older generation passes on them the spirit and anointing. I am not referring to myself, but to all of us here today. It is the anointing from the Spirit of God that enables the next generation to do more. The Spirit and anointing will give this generation a new purpose, a greater courage and authority as they are commissioned by the higher commissioner, who is Jesus Christ. So let me ask you today, what has eclipsed your vision? What has blurred your perspective? What has stopped us from rising? What has caused us to fall? It could be due to sin. It could be due to fear. It could be discouragement. Or could be due to weariness. The message is not only for the ministers, the pastors. This message is for the ministry, not only for the ministry workers and leaders of this church,
Not only for them. This is for everybody. For everyone who feels has fallen short. Do you feel that you have fallen short today? It means your desire was not met. You missed your goal and you feel that you are walking and running alone and surviving alone like Elijah. Do you feel that? Maybe we lost purity, we lost the passion, we lost our purpose, and we even lost the presence of God in our lives. Maybe that's what's happening to us right now. Something eclipsed. Something eclipsed. Now let me bring Jesus into this story. Elijah rested under the juniper tree. And that was the beginning of his rise from being fallen. It was there that God touched him and provided bread and water for him twice. And the food he ate gave him strength in his journey in the desert. Like Elijah, we need to find rest under the juniper tree. We need the juniper tree. The juniper tree in the Old Testament is a picture of the cross, the suffering and death of Jesus. Anyone who comes under that juniper tree comes under the cross. So that we can find rest, Jesus suffered exhaustion carrying the cross to Mount Calvary. He identifies with our weariness and took it for us so that we can find rest. We will find rest at the cross. God provided bread and water for Elijah. And Jesus identifies with our needs. When he experienced deprivation of food and severe thirst on the cross until he said, "I thirst." Why? To sustain us and give us the spirit and strength to rise again. Our sustenance is at the cross. Our rising again is confirmed. You will rise again. It is confirmed and assured because just as Jesus rose from the dead, we will rise with him. The juniper tree here is mentioned twice. And the bread and water were provided twice. It is a confirmation of God's sustenance in every station of life. It enabled Elijah to journey in the desert until he reached the mountain of God. And it will enable anyone who comes to Christ to rise from being fallen and move to a higher ground. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. In Jesus, there is rest. In the presence of Jesus, there is rest. Jesus also said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." God provided Elijah with bread and water, and here is the bread and water. We'll never go hungry and we'll never be thirsty again. And he gives the living water, who is the Holy Spirit, who gives the anointing. On the last day, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to the time, the Spirit had not yet been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus is now glorified and he has given us the Holy Spirit. The water that the angel gave to Elijah
enabled him to run in the desert for 40 days. But Jesus is offering us living water. Living water. And in conclusion, we experience letdowns. But God's purpose is not over yet. It's not over yet for you. Etab experienced letdowns, but God's purpose is not yet over for us. The fallen will rise again when they learn to rest in the presence of God, when God's provision is present, and when the power of God is manifest in their lives. Let us listen to His still small voice and receive His anointing by the Holy Spirit. I believe Etab will rise again. Because we are learning to rest in the presence of God. We have denied our flesh of bread, and water, because we trust in the real provision of God. And we are learning to listen to the voice of God in our quietness. And God is preparing us for a great task, to go and return on your way. Because we have a new purpose, a greater courage and authority as we are commissioned by the higher commissioner, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the journey did not end at Mount Horeb. Empowerment started there. Our journey does not end in receiving the Spirit and anointing. It starts from there. We need to come down from the mountain to bring God's message to our Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha in the Spirit and anointing of God. We will not stop at our letdowns. We will not stop at our losses. We will not stop at our deadness. We will rise from there because Jesus is alive and not dead. He has won the victory, and we start from there. Lastly, as the angel touched Elijah, let heaven touch us today. Come to the cross. Go up the presence of God. Listen to His still small voice and go in the Spirit and anointing. As the scripture says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Shall we just bow our heads right now? Brothers and sisters, God has seen what we are doing. God knows what you are doing. Because you believe, because you put your trust in Jesus and you believe in Him, that's why we are doing this. We are fasting. Because we look back at what He did. And our fasting is just our response to what He did. But fasting is not enough. This journey is not enough. We need to reach the mountain. We need to reach the mountain. Jesus has already saved us. Jesus has already given us the strength and the sustenance. And we are now traveling. But this journey is not the end. We need to reach the mountain. We need to reach the presence of God. We need to receive the anointing of God. But anointing and the Spirit, receiving the Spirit of God is not the end. We need to go again. We need to go again in that Spirit and anointing and find your Hazael. And find your Jehu. And find your Elisha. These three kinds of people are so important. Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. You can bring the message to the enemy. You can bring the gospel to those who do not believe. You can bring the gospel, you can bring encouragement to those who are members of the church, like Jehu. And you can even pass the anointing on the next generation like Elisha. But all of us here, we need a touch of heaven. That will be the beginning of the new strength from God. Elijah fell. He was discouraged. He was full of fear. He fell, but he rested under the juniper tree, the cross of Jesus Christ. Under the juniper tree, he received a touch from the angel, a touch from God's hand, and he received new strength. Shall we all stand as we sing the song? If the message has spoken to you now, let me be clear, this is not just over spiritual things. But you know, discouragements happen to us. Fears happen to us. Bad situations, losses happen to us. And maybe you have lost your vision, you have lost your desire. You are at the point of giving up, you're hopeless. I just want to encourage you, let the heaven touch you today, and He will lift you up. And the Word of God, if the Word of God has spoken to you this morning, let us respond by coming to the presence of God. Come into the presence of God. If you are tired, come and kneel. Come under Jesus, under the cross, under the juniper tree, and He will strengthen you once again. As we sing the song, you may start coming out from your seats and just receive a touch from heaven. A touch from heaven. Hallelujah.